All right, I'm Richard Roth. I'm a PhD student at Purdue University, and today I'll be talking to you about the work I've been doing using a cost analysis approach to value cover crop environmental and nitrogen cycling benefits. So to start off with a little background, I'm sure we're all aware that the Midwest, the agriculture in the Midwest is highly linked to the hypoxic zone in the Gulf of Mexico, contributing over 65% of the nitrogen load. And so right now that zone is about 23,000 square kilometers, and we have a goal of reducing that to 5,000 square kilometers. And so to do that, each state in the Midwest was required to develop a nutrient management reduction strategy that provides farmers with infield practices that they can implement to reduce their environmental footprint. And so basically across the Midwest, one of the most widely accepted methods for mitigating nutrient losses is the use of cover crops. But along with the proven ability to reduce nitrate losses, there's also other environmental benefits such as in cycling, erosion control, and just being a driver for overall increases in soil health. But when you ask a producer, why don't you use cover crops? The overwhelming answer is that we see no economic return. And so this has led to a lack in widespread adoption. So when we look at some of the things that have been done in the literature to try and look at the cost to a producer on a in removal rate scale, a lot of times what's used is a comparative cost methodology, which is the cost of implementing the practice divided by the nitrogen removed from the system. And so you can see that those values vary. There's great variation in those values amongst the literature. It's driven primarily by differences in average end removal as well as differences in the cost of implementing the practice. There's also been some cost-benefit analysis work done that focused primarily on agronomic factors as well as a hypothetical market for corn stover to be sold for bioenergy production. And there they saw 122% recovery of costs. However, the thing that I'd like to point out about all of these studies is that they use modeled numbers for the average end removal from the system, and they also use values to predict the cost of implementation from basically average custom farming prices. And so the difference with this study will be is that we measured all of the values in field as well as all the values for implementation came directly from our collaborating farmers record books. And so our objective in this study is to develop a method to value the quantifiable environmental and in cycling benefits of cover crops. And then we want to see how those the value of those environmental benefits relate to the recovery of the costs associated with implementing cover crops. And lastly, we want to incorporate the value of those environmental benefits into that comparative cost methodology that I just showed you. So this study took place in Lexington, Illinois, at the Illinois State University Nitrogen Management Research Field Station. The field is just over 10 hectares in size, and it's divided into 15 individually tile-drained 0.65 hectare plots. The nitrogen management systems that we tested in this case study were a fall-dominated split application of nitrogen with and without cover crops, and a spring-dominated split application of nitrogen with and without cover crops. We also had a zero-control check plot, but I will not be discussing that today. And the cover crop that we chose to use was a 92% cereal rye, 8% daikon radish blend, calculated by weight. These treatments were arranged in this in a complete randomized block design. So when we look at the cost of including cover crops into our cropping system, we have to consider three main variables: establishment cost, which is a combination of seed cost, seeding rate, and the cost to apply that seed; termination cost, which is the cost of chemical and the application rate of that chemical, as well as the application cost, and any yield change that you see following the cover crop, which can be both positive or negative, depending on the system. So one thing that I want to touch on real quick is that throughout this presentation, I'll be using two terms, cover crop adoption costs and total cover crop costs. And so the difference is that cover crop adoption costs is only establishment and termination costs. So the actual money that's paid from the farmer to implement the practice. The total cover crop cost includes establishment, termination, and any yield change cost. So just keep in mind as we move through that that's the definition of those two terms. Okay, so the environmental benefits that we measured in field with this study are subsurface drainage nutrient loading, which was monitored through automatic tile water sampling systems, which allowed us to pull samples of the tile leachate and analyze it for nitrogen content. We also tracked cover crop biomass nitrogen release using a litter bag method. And then lastly, the erosion control that we calculated was modeled using the Russell 2 program available through the NRCS. And I built a custom crop rotation into that program, which mirrored that used by the producer at our site. So for this case study, the environmental benefits were valued at the as-applied fertilizer rate, which is a commonly accepted method throughout the literature. And so for the 2014-2015 year, which was our first corn year, and 2015-2016, which was a soybean year, the values used were $1.82 per kilogram of nitrogen for the fall-dominated system and $1.75 per kilogram of nitrogen for the spring-dominated system. And then in 2016-2017, which was another corn year, it was $1.44 per kilogram of nitrogen for the fall system and $1.54 for the spring-dominated system. So what we have here is a table showing the input variables for the fall-dominated nitrogen management system. And the thing I want to point out here is that if you'll notice under where it says cost variables, the establishment cost and termination cost didn't vary by much over the course of the three-year study, approximately $4. But when you look at the red box there, you see the cost associated with yield changes. These are all additional costs, so meaning we had a decrease in yield each of these years. And so you can see that if you were to only look at adoption costs, you're missing a large proportion of the actual cost that's associated with cover crops. And so the other thing that I'd like to point out, and it'll actually be more evident on the next slide, so we'll go to that, is so this is now the spring system. So on the bottom, underneath the benefit variables, what I'd like to point out is that in the two corn years, so 2014-2015 and 2016-2017, the value of the environmental benefits was driven by reductions in the mineralization of cover crop nitrogen. But in the 2015-2016 year, which was a soybean year, it was driven by reductions in tile drainage. And again, you can see the same trend here where we saw yield reductions all 3 years, but the value of those yield reductions varied quite a bit between each year. So this is just a summary look at that. And so you can see what I was talking about. If you look at the top adoption cost, so that's just establishment and termination, you can see there was only about a $4 variation between the first year and the last year. But when you look at total cover crop costs, we had a range of $148 all the way up to $555. So you can see how if you didn't include that yield change cost in there, you'd be grossly underestimating the cost of the cover crops to the cropping system. And then when we look at the environmental benefits, we saw a range of 96 to 144. So now, cost recovery. So first, how we calculate cost recovery is it is the benefit variable, so the second column there. So either environmental benefits alone, environmental benefits plus EQIP, which is a governmental cost sharing program, or just EQIP by itself. And we have that for both total cost and adoption cost. And that is divided by the cover crop cost variable, so either total cost or adoption cost. So first we'll look at the total cost. So this is the scenario where we do include the yield change costs. And so we could see that if just the valuation of environmental benefits, we saw a range of recovery from 25.6 all the way up to 86.1%. And so in this situation where we did value the change in cover or the change in cash crop yields, we found that producers who would have enrolled in both a governmental cost sharing program as well as valuing the environmental benefits would have maximized their recovery, especially in this most recent year where we saw the most drastic yield changes. When we look at just adoption costs, so just establishment and termination, we saw a range of 66 to 102% recovery, meaning, so, and that difference there between the adoption cost and total cost is a result of the change in yield costs. actually, when we look at just adoption costs, the value of the EQIP payment that we could have received would have recovered over 100% of the establishment and termination costs, but would not have covered the yield change cost. And so lastly, we wanted to introduce the value of these environmental benefits into that comparative cost methodology that I showed you at the beginning. We've termed this the conservation economic efficiency cost, and it is the net cover crop cost, so either total or adoption cost, minus the recovery variable that we choose, so either the environmental benefits plus governmental cost share, or governmental cost share. And so what these numbers are representing is that when we look at the total cost, if you value environmental benefits alone, it would cost you about $8 per kilogram of nitrogen that we remove from the subsurface drainage system. When you look at environmental benefits plus EQIP, you can see that number drops quite drastically, and the parentheses around the 7 cents there means that is a hypothetical return to the producer, meaning that it's not costing them anything basically to reduce that nitrogen load in the drainage system. So when you look at adoption costs alone, you can see that the values are drastically lower. And again, that's a result of not having that cost associated with the yield change included in those values. So just to conclude here, we found that valuing short-term environmental benefits of cover crops can recover 25.6 to 86.1% of cover crop costs when you include the yield change. And on average, the composition of those costs is about 60% of it comes from nitrogen cycling, about 30% of it comes from reductions in nitrogen loading, and about 9% comes from estimated reductions in erosion. And lastly, and I think the most important thing, is that when we assume yields to be constant, meaning a non-cover crop field and a cover crop field yield the same, environmental benefits can recover a greater percentage, so 66 to 102% of the costs associated with implementing the cover crops. And so I think what that tells us is that we need to focus on developing strategies to maintain our yields or increase relative to a non-cover crop field instead of just dealing with the yield changes that we do see. And so With that, I want to thank my co-authors, Shalom Armstrong, Dr. Patrick O'Rourke, and Michael Rafati, and my lab members, Corey Lacey, Houston Miller, and Clayton Evans, the collaborating farmer, Philip Brown, and Illinois Nutrient Research and Education Council for providing funding. And with that, I can take any questions.
I got a couple of questions. The first one's pretty simple. Any idea what that auto sampler cost you?
So we have at each location we have an auto sampler, a data logger, and which sends the information directly back to the lab. And each setup is approximately $13,000 to $15,000, I think.
Okay. Any idea what the sampler just by itself costs?
I don't. $5,000? About $5,000.
Okay. Then the other question or just point I would make is your herbicide cost may not be that much different, really, because, and I assume you use a rye cover crop.
Yeah, so we have a rye tillage radish mix, yeah.
So, like where I'm working, we've got to spray herbicide anyway. And the rye's not that hard to kill, and actually the rye helps us with weed control.
Mm-hmm.
We get ahead where we put the rye. So, I would, in terms of your cost analysis, I would scrutinize that and think about it. Is it really costing me more to have this rye to get the weed control I want, or is it a wash, or I need to be in your.
I would agree with that. However, the farmer that we had chose to do a burn down specifically for the cover crop, and then also a both a pre and post emergence herbicide application. And so in his system, it was considered an extra application, and therefore it was an extra cost in our case. In other cases, it may not be.
Okay.